Hey, it's Jenny Nash, and if you've been curious about becoming a book coach, I'd like to invite you to a live training I'm going to be doing on February 4th at 5 p.m. PST, which is 8 p.m. EST, and I'm going to be talking about how to become the kind of book coach writers love to pay. You can sign up for that at bookcoaches.com/live. That's bookcoaches.com/live. I'd love to see you there. Hi, I'm Jenny Nash, and you're listening to the Hashtag AmWriting podcast. This is a Write Big session where I'm bringing you short episodes about the mindset shifts that help you stop playing small and write like it matters. Today, I'm talking about the idea of having a growth mindset around your writing. Growth mindset is a term that was coined back in the day by Dr. Carol Dweck, who was a psychologist at Stanford. And what it is the belief that your abilities and intelligence can be developed through effort, good strategy, feedback, and practice rather than being fixed traits that you either have or you don't have. Someone who is committed to their writing life and to having a career as a writer and doing the best work that they possibly can has to have a growth mindset because there's always something to learn. There's always a new skill or a new way of learning to write or a new way of learning to produce the work or a new way of understanding the marketplace. And you're always going to encounter roadblocks and challenges and things that you need to get through and overcome in order to bring your work to life. All of that is just the nature of the beast of creativity and of entrepreneurship and of being a human. I was reminded about all of this because my dad got a new bike for Christmas. Now, my dad is 87 years old. He's been an incredible athlete his whole life. He did everything from biking and skiing and backpacking and playing tennis. And mostly he was a really accomplished river runner. He rode boats down the Grand Canyon more than 70 times in his career, which is probably close to some kind of record. He's just always been incredibly fit and accomplished and able to do anything physically that he wanted to do. But as he's gotten older, he's had to let go of a lot of the things that he loves. He can't run rivers anymore. He couldn't ski anymore. And lately, he began to feel like he couldn't ride a bike anymore. He felt unbalanced and it was scaring him. And he just felt like he couldn't do it anymore. So he had to face the fact that he couldn't ride a bike anymore. But my husband and I had this idea because we've been seeing these three-wheel trikes out in the world, these electric tricycles that are being marketed to older people. And we thought maybe that would work. My dad lives near a bike path where if he could get one of these trikes down onto the bike path, he would have been able to ride all the way to the beach on one side and actually on the other, all the way to the beach on that side as well. It would be a way that he could have gotten out in the world and gotten out in the sun and continued to do something that he really loved. So we started to do some research, and these things are big. And so a lot of people sell them on Facebook Marketplace because maybe they get them and they don't work and what have you. And so we thought, okay, we'll check it out. So we found one that we thought was great. And we got my dad and we went over there and checked out this electric trike. And my husband got on it and I got on it and my dad got on it. And all of us felt really unstable, actually. It was surprising how unstable it was with these three wheels. It was just really hard to turn and you felt like the whole thing was going to tip over. It was just no good. And so we said no and went away. And my dad was really sad. In the car on the way back, he was just, the air in the car was like heartbreak. It was like the definition of heartbreak. Like if you've ever been in the car with a kid who lost a big game or lost a big audition or something, just that total sense of defeat. And it was so awful. And so we all resolved, like, well, maybe there's other kinds of bikes. Maybe there's other models. Maybe there's another way. Let's do some research and see if we can figure it out. Well, we didn't do that research. Time went by. And a few weeks later, my dad called and he said, a friend of mine had a trike and I saw it and I sat on it and I think this is what I want. can you order it for me from Amazon? And first of all, I was thinking, he didn't ride the bike. He didn't say he rode the bike. He said he just sat on it. And also, like, we're going to order this giant thing from Amazon and it's going to come. And then what are we going to do with it? It just sounded a little bit like a nightmare. It was also kind of expensive, but he was excited. And so we ordered it and it came, this giant box. And we brought it into his garage. My husband and my dad and I worked for 4 hours putting it together. One of us was reading the instructions. There were millions of little screws and things you had to put on first, and you know how it goes. So we get this trike together, and it's actually huge. The wheels are like, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches big. It's a big piece of machinery. And now my dad's scared to get on it. He's scared because that other trike was a problem. He's scared because of his balance issues. And really, at the root of it, he was scared because this was his hope for having another chapter of his life be open rather than a chapter being closed again. He had put so much hope on this, that this was going to be his key to freedom, really, to be able to get on a bike and go out and have his face in the wind. So we wheeled the trike down his driveway and into the street, which is a nice flat street without a lot of traffic. And it turned out that this bike was really hard to navigate as well. And my dad was on it and he kept curving into the curb. At one point, he almost went right into a parked car. It was just really hard to get it right. And it was really slow going to turn the trike around and try again. And we were trying to cheer him on and tell him he could do it. And we were doing that thing you do like when with a toddler where you're holding the back of the seat of the bicycle and running along beside them while they're balancing and then you let them go. We were doing that with my 87-year-old dad. And it was actually really cute. While we were in the midst of doing that, these two kids, they were probably like 12-year-old boys, came whipping around the corner and down the hill on their snazzy bikes. And they yelled out, "Love your bike." And that was actually the incentive that we all needed to keep at it because we just laughed and kept going. But my dad never really got the bike going on that day. He never really pedaled more than maybe 10 feet. And there was a sense of defeat. And so we wheeled it back into the garage. And I thought, oh man, what's going to happen now? But the next day, my dad called me and he said, he took the bike out on the road again and tried and I think it did a little better. And I was like, oh no, that's not a good idea for him to be out there by himself. It was a little terrifying to think of him. But I said, that's great. And then he told me the next day, he called again and he said, I took the bike out again. And then this time I rode down to the stop sign, you know, which was maybe 50 feet. Well, day after day after day, he was trying to ride this new bike. And then he called and he said, I talked to a friend of mine who has a bike like this. And he told me the secret is that you don't actually lean your body weight the way you do on a regular bike. You have to just turn the shoulders and the handlebars. And he's like, I think I've unlocked it. Well, sure enough, the next call I got was my dad had ridden the bike to the beach and he was so excited. I mean, he was just filled with joy that he had been able to do this. And he said, bring your bike over. We'll ride together. We'll go on a trip to ride to the beach. And so on a weekend, I did that. I met him on my bike and we rode, I don't know how far it is, like 3 miles, maybe. I mean, it's not very far. Maybe it's 5. And my dad had a lunch of crackers and cheese and an apple and a water bottle. And we sat out there and looked out at the ocean. And he was so happy. I don't know that I have ever seen him so happy in his whole life. He was like a kid. And sure, he had this sweet new machine, but he was like a kid who had mastered a new skill. He'd figured it out and it had unlocked something for him. I mean, that thing about being out in the sun and the wind in your face and riding down the road and having people wave at you and call out to you because your bike is so cool. He's 87 years old. And all of that was possible because he had this growth mindset. He put in the effort and he put in the energy and he kept trying again and again because he wanted it so badly. And I thought, that's everything. Even for a writer, that's everything. This growth mindset, this ability to get up and keep going when things get hard, to carry on when you've had a defeat or a rejection, to believe that you can get the thing you want even when you encounter difficulties and discomfort. So that's at the very beginning when writers can't produce work that's equal to their vision, or they can't finish a book as easily as they thought they could, or they can't believe they have to do another revision, or they get rejected again and start a new book. All of these take growth mindset, and they're things that we need to develop. We have to remind ourselves that writing big means going back and trying again and again and again, a little bit at a time, and being willing to look ridiculous out there, and being willing to be humiliated, and being willing to put yourself at risk. We have to be willing to go through the hard part to get to what we want. My dad is not going to win any bike races. He's not going to ever go very far. He's probably not going to ride this trike for very long, 6 months, a year, maybe 3 years at the very outside. But he wanted to learn it. It was important to him to have this skill, and he set about learning it, and it was so inspiring. There's so much to learn in order to write a good book and bring it into the world, and having that growth mindset is the thing that you need to get there. It's what writing big is all about. So until next time, stop playing small and write like it matters.
The Hashtag Am Writing podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.